Good morning again, everyone. So we're about to show a clip from the Chosen series. It kind of ties into my message this morning.
John, keep crying. What are you doing? Did anybody just see that? Over there!
I don't see anything!
What are we looking for?
Go!
It can't be.
We have to get out of here! Everyone go!
Let me go.
much planned for you, Simon. Including hard things. Just keep your eyes on me. I promise.
Come on, help him. Help.
Please. Please. Don't let me go, please. I'm sorry. Please. Don't let me go, please. I'm sorry. Please don't let me go.
Peace! Be still!
Pretty powerful, right? You know, you look at, I know it's an adaptation of the Bible. There's some stuff that's added in there, but you can see how he struggled, right? Even the most faithful people can struggle. They can lose sight of what God has for them, what God has planned for them in those moments. Last week, I talked about tragedies and trauma, and the week before that, I talked about other things as well, about healing and so forth like that. Today's sermon kind of piggybacks off of all those two. When I titled the sermon, I really thought about how I wanted to title it. But when I was looking at the video, I kept on thinking, don't let go. Because ultimately what God wants us to do, to not let go from him, to not depart from him, even when we're going through a lot of different things. And today we're going to be talking about healing and to hold on to God during those times. And as we go through today's message as well, I want you to really think about not just that video, not just your own life, but people around you. You know, we talk to people, we talk to our coworkers, we talk to our friends, our family. And a lot of times people are struggling. Sometimes they'll let you know what that struggle is. But a lot of times they don't. And for those who are struggling here in this church, for their own personal circumstances, hopefully today's message helps you understand and to look at how to be whole in a different way. And as I talked about this earlier this morning, and when I was talking about some of the stuff that's going on with our own community, with the youth, there's a lot of stuff that can divide us. Political beliefs, different religious beliefs, even things happening overseas can cause a divide within our nation, as you have seen it unfold throughout the several months, even years. But also, things that can divide us are things that we suffer and go through every day. And people are hurting. People are saddened. People are grieving. People are angry. And they might be struggling. Might be struggling financially, spiritually, career growth-wise. And they can conjure up all these different types of feelings within inside of us. And as I preached last Sunday, and I told you I don't truly understand why God sometimes allows things to happen to certain people. And I gave you some examples of where some of the rationale might play into it. Even in that video, it kind of hit on it a little bit. Talk about strengthening your faith. Just as it did for Simon in that video. As some people who are following God might be asking, why can't you help me? Why can't God stop the cancer? Why can't God stop the destruction in this world? Stop the hurting. Stop people's addictions. And just let us lead peaceful lives. It reminds me of a music video from a Christian artist, Micah Tyler, called Different. And part of that, he has an intro into it. And what it says, a bridge version, Jesus, can you just change the things around me? Then he realizes the best question is not, Jesus, can you change the things, but Jesus and God, can you change me so I can accept and walk through the things you're giving me to walk through? And that's the hardest part about people's perspective, right? Change, trusting in God to give them the faith to get through it. But he does it so that we can be strengthened for what might unfold later on in the future. Good analogy. Pretty sure most people have rode a bike. There might be some outliners out there, but most of you have rode a bike, right? When you're riding a bike, you didn't just jump on, right? Like, doo doo, bing bing. You didn't do any of that, right? Your parents helped you. Your friends guided you. There was a lot of cuts, a lot of scrapes, a lot of bruises along the way. But did you just say, you know what? This bike ain't for me. I'll donate to charity. You didn't usually. You got back on. You tried it and tried it and tried it again. It's kind of like our faith, right? We got to keep on getting back on. There are going to be scrapes, cuts, and bruises along the way. There's going to be hurt along the way. But it strengthened us to get through it. It allows us to build upon our faith so that way we don't stumble. We do stumble, but not as often. But that sometimes gives people a good reason to turn their back on their faith. When in that moment, they stumble. They see themselves apart from God instead of with God. In today's message on Jeremiah 17, 14 through 18, it relates to hurting and healing that we need. We all need. As Simon stated in the video, don't let go. But I'll flip that. What Jesus would probably have said to him, instead of don't let go, what Simon had said, he probably should have told Simon to not let go as well. Because your faith is your rock for what you stand on. And that's because God shows up each and every day. He's always there. You might not physically see him there, but he's there present with you. God is the same God that shows up when your dad forgets to pick you up because he went to the bar again to get another drink to heal his own issues. He is there when you have a biopsy to see if, again, for the fourth time, maybe you might be getting cancer. He is there when you lose your job at the plant as it shuts down. He is there. We just need to look up to see him. So as we go into Jeremiah, just reflect on that part. that he's always there in anything and everything you do. So if you have your Bibles today, we'll be in Jeremiah 17, verses 14 through 18. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. If you do not have your Bibles here today, there's a Bible pew, which is on page 549 in that Bible pew. So Jeremiah 17, 14 through 18 states, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For you are my praise. Behold, they say to me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come. I have not run away from being your shepherd, nor have I desired the day of sickness. You know what came out of my lips. It was before your face. Be not a terror to me. You are my refuge in the day of disaster. Let those be put to shame who persecute me, but let me not be put to shame. Let them be dismayed. But let them me be not dismayed. Bring upon them the day of disaster. Destroy them with double destruction." Jeremiah 17, 14 through 18. In Benson's commentary on verses 14, it states, "Most interpreters understand the prophet as addressing God here in his own behalf. He represents himself as a person wounded or sick, either with a sense of dishonor done to God by the sins of the people or with their reproaches poured upon themselves or himself. And he begs of God to heal him, God only having the power to do it." And as I discussed, my first point is going to be on healing. And I really want you to focus on the words in this message today. Because in verse 14, it speaks of healing and asking for healing. We often look to God in our life-altering moments. We seek him. We ask for healing whether you have a broke bone, have an infection, a virus, or a disease. We either put our hands together or we lift them up to the Lord in prayer. "Lord, please heal me of this infliction. Bring me to deliverance, to a sense of normal, to make me whole again." What happens when he hears your prayers and he answers them? We know that God always answers our prayers. But sometimes those prayers aren't what you expected, are hoped for, and prayed for. "You heard my prayer of the Lord to make me whole." That's a struggle for a lot of people. That's where a lot of people hurt, the wholeness part. "Lord, you delivered me from cancer, but you took an organ from me. Lord, you cured me from an infection, but you took a limb. Why, God, did it cost me so much to be healed? Why can I not be whole like others who have similar experiences?" I'll bring it to real-world application. I'm pretty sure you watch TV or YouTube, something. You see the Children's Miracle Network. You see St. Jude. You see Shriners Hospital, right? Those videos. Some of you might be asking, how can God do so much to those children? How can he give them those rare diseases? How can you give him those deformities? But if you're thinking at that, and you're not looking at the video, maybe it's your own mindset that needs to change. When I look at those videos, I see those children happy and joyful, right? Smiling. They don't see themselves as victims. They don't concentrate on what's wrong with them. They concentrate on how God is using them. They concentrate on how God is healing them. That's something we often forget when we see those videos, right? Kind of tugs at your heartstrings for a reason. But you see the joy in those kids no matter what. We can also dwell on what we have lost in life. But you can look at it at what you still have in life. You're still here. Maybe not what you were before, but you're still here on this earth. And that means God still has a plan for you. God still needs you in that plan. And that could be a difference. That can be a difference not only in your life, but those around you as well. He also wants us to adjust our lives to that and to others around us. As I stated last week, there are trauma and events that we experience. And while I said no one experienced exactly the same thing, you do all have a common denominator. Everyone here has experienced something different that helps connects to each member of this church in some way, some form. And that will be the part of healing that happens. Because you can share how you have gone through the fire and escaped it. How you have gotten through it. You think about how many support groups there are out in the world, right? Through all these nonprofits and these organizations, even federal government as well, has some groups that they start. You think it's just like by circumstance they decide, oh, let's just do this one. This looks like a good one. Let's just knock it off the list, right? It's because people have gone through this experience. They know how hard it is to heal from it, to get through it. Some are faith-based, some are not. But those groups are there to help you, help guide you, to deal with the new reality that we are in at that moment. That can make all the difference. That's because we all live life. We're all on a journey, right? We all experience something. But our own testimony helps others know there is a path forward. There is a light at the end of the tunnel and how to adapt to that new light. God will not only heal you, but he will heal your soul. Might not be how you thought it would unfold. In the Bible, it says in Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We should be giving thanks for giving us more time on this earth to help others who need our prayers, guiding them through their journey and friendship to get through that circumstance that they're going through. The Bible tells us we are not to walk alone in this journey, as in Hebrews 10, verses 23 through 25 speaks to. So your experience, even in trauma, could help others heal as God is helping you heal. heal over time. Which brings me to my next point. Hold steadfast to the Lord. In verse 16 and 17, it speaks of how Jeremiah will not run nor desire to become sick. That the Lord is his refuge. That is something we can all pray for, right? Whether you're a prophet or not, the Lord is our refuge, our rock. That even in our trials, we seek the Lord to hold steadfast to his love for us. And going back to that Chosen video that I showed with Simon, even when we're sorry in our stumbling in our faith, we don't want him to let go, right? Want him to hold tight, like a little bear hug, right? Because we need him. We always need him. But even when he was saying, don't let go, that was his human side speaking. We know the biblical side says he never does. Whether your affliction is physical, emotional, or mental, we should seek the Lord. In Psalms 30, it says, I will exalt you, O Lord, for you have drawn me and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cry to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who have gone down to the pit. We must exalt the Lord during those trying times because he's the one that, like I said, gives us strength. He is the one who will redeem you. He is the one who helps you after your circumstance to navigate the new life and the change. If you choose not to let go, the alternative, kind of like what I preached last Sunday, will bring a burden that you were never meant to carry, never meant to hold on to. It will allow the devil to take a seat at the table in your mind, to cast doubt, to put thoughts into your head that do more harm to yourself and others. Which brings me to those thoughts where people's lives hang in the balance. This month is National Suicide Awareness Month. And it's not lost on me that people carry a lot of different things. Grief, guilt, shame, sometimes mental health reasons like PTSD and depression. Or even the desire to finally escape this world. I can tell you, no matter the reason, it will not solve the problem. Because the aftermath after that happens, for everybody that's left behind that has to pick up where you left off, it doesn't end. The Bible shows us that people suffer from issues that still face us today. The same Bible tells us Jesus is close to the brokenhearted. Those who are sick or ill, those who are afflicted, those who have sinned, and those who need to know that God is there. However, there's one type of suicide I can't kind of wrap my head around, and most of you can't either. I know this is a dark subject, but it destroys everybody when it does happen. It destroys the family, the friends, the coworkers. And I know it's like almost bi-weekly event nowadays. You see it in the news, you read an article, doesn't really matter how you receive it. But people decide to not only take their life, but their loved ones too. Sometimes even their pets. I just don't understand it. I think a lot of us don't understand it. But it kind of reminds me of a episode me and my wife were watching when it dealt with this very specific type of event. In it, a father, wife, and his two girls had lost a son and a brother for the girls, obviously. But he was so much hurt in his heart for his son being lost. And in that moment, over a long period of time, depression kept on creeping in. And then he thought, you know what? The only way I can be with my son, the only way to stop this pain is to end it. Once that thought happened, more thoughts happened. Well, if I leave, what about my family? What about my wife and my kids? Well, we just lost our son. Now they're going to lose me. You know what? We all shouldn't be here. And as the episode fast forwards, the wife, faithful in God, was seeking help with the grief, trying to get her husband to seek help as well. The church would eventually intervene. They would come in there, talk to him about how God still loves him, that God's still there, that they know of his tragedy that he's going through. And while that may not replace his son, God doesn't want to lose him as well. And while that was just a television show in itself, the fact is, stuff like that happens each and every day. Not just in a far distant land, in another country, happens here. A lot of those people suffer in silence. Maybe because they're afraid to share their struggles, fear of being judged, fear of something bad happening to them. But a lot of times people forget the spiritual side of that in the way that God helps us heal. And don't get me wrong, there are some times where people have mental health issues or health issues in general, and they need both medical and spiritual healing. You know, it reminds me of almost 5 years ago, to be honest, just thought about the time. But my wife knows this more than anybody else, along with my kids. But about 5 years ago, 1 month later, I was in the hospital suffering some internal bleeding issues. And during that time, you know, you seek your medical help. I sought God a lot during that time. And as they did their research, a lot of tests, they couldn't find the cause. The bleeding stopped. They couldn't find the cause. The only thing I can do is credit God for that. Yes, I don't know what caused it, but I was healed. The bleeding has stopped. And I haven't had an episode since, which is great, for both me and my family's sake, at least. But when you're getting close to stuff like that, when there's really, you know, a chance that you might not come out on the other side of it, God is there. God's there to show up, to use you as an example. And there's countless stories in here, not just my own, of where God showed up. Amen indeed. And that's why we have to hold steadfast to the Lord. Because in those circumstances, you can lose your sight on the Lord. You can look at, how can I solve this? How can I make this better? A lot of times it's not you. Just as Jeremiah seeked out the Lord, we must also seek out the Lord to help deliver us, to heal us through our faith. You know what the great thing about the Bible is? You know, whether you're using the Pew Bible here or you have one at home, right? You can read it. It's not written in old Greek or Hebrew or Aramaic. You can see what God has shown us through the old prophets, all the way through Jesus and the apostles. You can see how God shows us how people were afflicted back in the day, how we can be judged. But also allows us to share it with other people. And the Bible's been transcribed in different languages across the world. There's a lot that hasn't been transcribed. But that's the message that God wants us to deliver. To not quit on Him when times are tough. To let Him show up and show His divine power of healing. To make us whole in a different light. Now, I mentioned earlier that people want to heal, to be the same again. If I go back to your Christian faith, before Christ and after Christ, you were changed. You were strengthened. You were encouraged. You were to grow in your faith. But it's no different than when we were growing up, right? I'm older, obviously. We're all older. We're not kids anymore. But you grew up learning as you went along. Like your faith. Again, growing, learning, sharing it with each other. So, hold steadfast to the Lord, because like in the video, when the boats are rocking, the Lord will be coming knocking. He will set the waves that are crashing against that boat. Peace be still. And in that moment, you'll feel a peace. He will calm that storm that's around you. And that's how we rely on Him, not ourselves. So as I close, I don't want to skip verse 18. But when Jeremiah was talking about those who were harming him, the persecution, God will deal with those people that seek your harm. Because God is ultimately the judge of this world. Now, that doesn't mean to just keep those people in your lives. All right? People that are gossiping about you, lying about you, doing you harm, outside of the physical aspect. Physical is a different route. But you shouldn't have them in your lives. They're not helping you. They're hurting you. In doing so, they're hurting your faith. You know, the Bible talks about turning the other cheek. A lot of people will try to preach on this in a different light than what it was supposed to be. But it talked about not stooping down to the level. Meaning, if someone's talking bad about you, don't reward evil with evil. It's not a tit for tat type of thing. You know, we talked about in Bible study earlier, you know, we're in a war of faith, so to speak, between the devil and God. And I told you last Sunday as well, there's a constant battle, constant war of good and evil. But you don't have to give in to the evil part. And I get it. Somebody says something about you, you're like, oh, is that what Susie thinks? Well, let me tell you what. Sin. You can't unsend things. You know, back in the day when we wrote letters, right, physical letters, you could, like, sit it to the side, think about it. I probably shouldn't have said that in this third way. Now everybody's quick. Text message, social media, email. You can try to recall it. Oh, please. Oh, dang, they read it. I'm going home sick today. You know, we can overreact, but we're not supposed to stoop down to their level. We're not supposed to go how they're going. Now, I might add a little caveat to that. It's kind of hard to cut out family. You can, don't get me wrong. You can cut out toxic people, but they're still blood family, and that's a hard thing, unfortunately. But you can pour into them. You can speak your mind in a nice, collective way, not an angry way. And hopefully, God, who judges us, right, will send the Holy Spirit to convict them. And maybe they might turn around and repent and truly apologize and ask for forgiveness. But you should always still pray for them, no matter what. You know what? Kind of like what I just said, God might just show up one day and turn their whole life around and change it for the better. And that's why we always have to heal through our faith. Somebody's alarm's going off telling me I need to end. All jokes aside, though. In today's message, I talked about the latter 2 points, holding steadfast to your to the Lord and to heal. And healing comes when we submit to God versus our own will. Healing allows us to be more at peace with Him than that has been alongside our own struggles before, during, and after the life-altering event. It allows us to use a testament to others who might be going through the same similar struggle that we are going through. Holding steadfast to the Lord will allow you to seek His guidance and help through it. To not let go, to never let go of God, because He's never letting go of you. He knows you stumble in your walk. He knows you are hurting. He knows your grief of things lost. He knows what is on your heart and your mind. He knows everything before you do. However, just because He knows, do not think He wants you to be intentionally hurt or harmed. We are all human, and things happen. And sometimes the devil likes to stir the pot. Just open a web page of any news site, and I guarantee you there's a devil at work somewhere in this world stirring the pot. That is why people of faith, whether your faith is that of a mustard seed or as big as this world, need to seek Him in all things. To give praise when He answers the prayer, even when it's not what we expected. Jesus said, "Peace be with you." And I say the same. Because your peace will be with you always, as long as you stay connected to God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we go about our week, let us not forget about you. Let us seek you in all things, not just for our own healing, Lord, but for others. And I said earlier, Lord, during the prayer, that a lot of people are struggling. A lot of people are hurting. A lot of people have afflictions, Lord. We may not know everybody's, but we know you do. We know that you are there with them, keeping them safe, trying to heal them. I just pray, Lord, that they might not be whole in their own eyes, but in your eyes, they are whole. They are perfect before the event. They are perfect after the event. And while the event may have strengthened them, caused them hurt sometimes, Lord, we know you are the comforter. You're the one who goes in there and comforts those who are heartbroken, who are burdened. You're the same Lord that performs miracles each and every day. Testaments to your power. And while sometimes things happen, Lord, that we cannot explain, that we do not know, we know that your plan to use it for good will always be present. Lord, I pray for anybody here who has a silent prayer, Lord, those who might be struggling, going through some trials right now, Lord. And I want them to know that you are there, that you love them, you see them, and you will heal their soul. And as this day unfolds, Lord, please guide our hearts to help those and recognize those who are hurting. Help them, through you, give peace. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.